The time has come for one man to step forward and entertain. A man with a well-liked reputation from his friends.
This guy's a real asshole.
A man of brutal honesty.
Another comic told me that real comics don't tell jokes, they tell the truth. So I told him he wasn't funny. And then I wrote a bunch of jokes.
A man respectful of other cultures.
I don't give a fuck who built the pyramids. These things are fucking stupid. They're not even shaped like buildings.
A man oozing confidence.
Hey, this is Chris Paw. I fucking hate myself.
Chris Paw. Above Below Entertainment presents, in association with the Ad Hominem Attack Show and Companion Podcast, and One Man's Dream, an hour of stand-up comedy. Will it be funny? Find out in Apocalypse Now.
Available now on all digital media. Physical copies are available at chrispocalypse.com. Support independent comedy.
Hi, this is filmmaker BJ Colangelo, and you're listening to The Default Setting with Jess Falstick and Gigi Chick, presented by Above Below Entertainment.
Setting where we find out what makes you tick because we have ways of making you talk. I am your host, Jess Falstick.
And I am co-host Gigi Chick.
And today we have a very, very fucking hilarious lady friend of mine, Ms. Jessie Ricker. How are you?
Oh, I'm splendid. How are you?
We are great.
We're excited to have you here.
Yeah, we're super ants. Jessie's default setting, I'm just going to put it on the website as Amish is Jessie's default setting.
Yes.
It could be deceiving.
I see like a list of our podcasts and like default setting anxiety, default setting depression, default setting Amish.
Amish. That's why I was so excited.
Like, Amish, that's all you get. Like, you just default setting Amish. All right.
On the agenda tonight, Amish. I am so there.
Cannot we're not wait sure to see. What we think about it, but we're going to talk about it.
I like the notion that's just like, that's what you default to is like, Yoder, Aiden, like you just yell
hello Millers,
Pennsylvania Dutch, and make pies. That's like what you just default to.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure we are perfectly describing.
Yeah, I'm like being the most racist like against Amish right now. I'm just like really stereotyping all the Amish things. Well, so I grew up in Amish country. Where did you grow up?
In Amish country.
Okay, what part?
Middlefield, Ohio.
Where's that?
Okay. It's like if you imagine like the middle point between Erie, PA, and Cleveland.
Oh, okay. So you go through there then, like on the way to like Toronto or New
York?
Yeah.
Or, okay. It's like a very, very small town. It's like the fourth largest Amish population in the world.
No shit.
Yeah, it's awesome. Super heavy Amish. And like, I would say it was like in the town itself, probably more, they call us Yankees. Like if you're not Amish, you're a Yankee.
Okay.
And so it was probably like, I don't know. Some background info for you guys. You know the lingo.
I love those nuggets of knowledge.
Yeah, just a little, dropping a little nug for
love
you.
The alliteration. Nuggets of knowledge.
But yeah, I don't know. It was like half Amish, half Yankee.
Okay.
So like most of like they were on like their voting power mattered probably more than ours.
Okay.
So that's why our town cannot develop. Yeah, like they were super, super against that. Like we tried to get a movie theater for like 10 years.
Oh.
And they were like, no picture screens in our town.
This is like Footloose on steroids.
It is.
Like, that's bananas. So you said it's called Middlefield?
Mm-hmm.
Middlefield?
Okay. Is that the same as the like Middlefield cheddar?
Yes.
I love that I have Amish classic cheese.
You
and I did
do.
Not do this on purpose at all. This is just cheese we had from the last episode that I was like, let's eat more cheese. And it's actually Amish cheese.
We are known for that.
So I am so fascinated because you and your immediate family did not grow up Amish, correct?
No. I was my grandma, okay. It's called yanking over. She yanked over when she was 18 or 20.
Is that the Rumspringa thing?
Well, you go to, okay, so.
Yes, please educate
me. I'm so excited right now.
It was like, okay, you graduate school when you're in eighth grade.
Okay.
You don't go to high school. Okay. And from eighth grade until you're like 25, it's called Rumspringa. It's like for every different person, it's a different amount of time. You do Rumspringa until you're married.
Wow.
And so like, it's either until you're married or until you decide whether or not you want to join the church.
Okay.
So once you join the church, if you leave, you're exiled.
Okay.
But if you don't join the church as an adult and you like yank over, you're still cool.
Yeah, so, I didn't know that. I couldn't understand that until now.
Because I was like, well, you talked about how you, because we'll get into this, but you talked about how you still like talk to your aunts and stuff. And I was like, because I had always thought it was like one or the other. Like you either pick Amish or you pick Yankee, but you don't get to bridge. Like if you pick Yankee, you don't get to stay in touch. So that's interesting that that's like the loophole that allows you to stay mm-hmm. in touch with your family.
And also, I would also add that it's like super complicated. It also depends on the neighborhood you live in.
Okay.
So they kind of district themselves off by bishop and church. They don't have a church building. They have church in a different person's house every other Sunday.
Yes, I knew that because I grew up in Amish country. Yes.
So you know, like you sell all the buggies coming up to
and
the
that's
house.
That's also date night. After church.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. See, you know the ways of us.
I do. Well, because my parents still live where I grew up. And it's like, it's called Belleville, but literally like there are two stoplights in the actual town. And then they live 15 minutes outside of town. So it's like literally. Mm-hmm. And there was a time where I would probably say in a 5-mile radius, there were like 30 people that live around there. And 20 of them were Amish, and the other 5 were my relatives. So,
yeah. Okay, so you're close to the clan.
Yeah.
the tribe.
And so, and so I knew because we had an Amish family that lived actually immediately next door, like through when I was like 8 until I was like 15. And so, like, their horses would end up in our yard. They had pigs. Their pigs would end up in our yard. They'd bring us pie all the time. So, so I know like a little bit, but I'm like so fascinated to learn like all these. Because the other thing is, too, we'd have a lot of guys on Rumspringa would come to like start dating some of the girls I went to high school with because they were like trying to figure that out. And that was always interesting to me.
During that period of time, and I won't even try to pronounce that word.
It's like, so talking in like Pennsylvania Dutch, it's imagine you have, hear me out, imagine you have a dick in your mouth and you're trying to speak German.
I was not.
That, but it's like Rumspringa. Like, it's like you have to actually, I'm not kidding at all. It's literally like a dick in your mouth trying to speak German. That's what it is. Rumspringa.
Rumspringa.
Oh, okay. Rum.
Like you can't rum. Like it has like a weird little hum to it. And every little accent counts too, because it's not really like a written language as much as it is a spoken one.
Yeah.
Because they don't go past eighth grade. So, you know, but yeah, it's like, you want to try? You want to try saying Rumspringa?
Yeah. What you said?
Rumspringa.
Springa.
Springa.
Springa. Springa.
Yeah, there you go. You got that. Springa. Springa.
Weird. Okay. So during that time, what would people do typically, like in that period of time, besides maybe like Jess alluded to, like dating, or like in order to figure out if they wanted to join the church officially?
Oh,
is it just like a bunch of experimentation?
Loads
or?
Of cocaine.
Oh,
yes, yes.
Loads and okay. Loads of that's cocaine what I was trying and to alcohol dig and into. Pot. They're like crazy. Like
they get caught.
What
is caught pretty easy to get? Did you say they get caught?
Oh
like,
no,
like caught like the stuff in the Middle East that they chew on. I was like, they're drinking. They chew
cat.
How the hell do they?
Oh no! I was like, did they get cat? I was like, okay, all right, yeah.
Sorry.
No, they get pretty messed up.
Yeah, I knew.
So were they exposed to those things before? I mean, how did they come about all of a sudden being like, I'm gonna go from 0 to 100? Because like, I've never grown up in the Amish church and I've never done cocaine. Like,
yep.
What? How does that come about?
Well, the messed up part about that is that like, when they're experiencing being a Yankee, they only experience the extremes of it. Like their idea of being non-Amish is just doing drugs and like drinking all the time. So like it's really not experiencing the non-Amish world. Yeah. Like it's just kind of like getting shithoused.
Do you think that's based on because of their like preconceived notions of being a Yankee they, you know, they kind of were raised to think that all of anything outside of the Amish church is sinning.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they automatically leap to like the extreme version of not being Amish, basically.
Exactly. Well, and like if you think about it, like, even if you are exposed to something that is, you know, qualitatively better, like being Yankee, you have electricity and like you have opportunities and access, but when communities like that, just like the Hasidic Jewish community in New York, mm-hmm. it's the community that's hard for them to leave. Like if you, I always used to, you know, I used to know about like Hasidic Jewish people in Brooklyn. Like
that's kind of what it made me think of when you were saying,
yeah,
like the fact that there are like laws and the voting are heavily influenced by the community.
Exactly. It's just like that. And the only pull factor for them is that they won't have a family. Pretty much. Like, if you're not Amish, you can't, like, you can't hang. Like they'll still have you, but it's just not the same.
Yeah.
Like, they don't do the same things as us. I mean, they're just like us, but they just don't live in the same world.
Right.
So you really can't be a part of the family anymore.
So you said your grandmother was on one side or both, or how did it?
On one side. My grandma Fanny, who, she passed away when I was, like, 7, so it was, like, a long time ago.
Was it on your mom's side?
My mom's side, yeah. And that, they were the Millers.
Okay.
Which you...
Ah! Millers and Yoders.
Yeah, Millers and Yoders.
It's like the Smiths and the Joneses of the Amish world.
Mm-hmm.
I had my best New Year's Eve on a dairy farm in Pennsylvania.
Really?
Where everyone spoke Pennsylvania Dutch, basically.
Is it a dialect or is it...
It's a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
It's anything that you would imagine that would come up with a language that was not... kind of like facilitated through academia.
Yeah.
Like it's just, it's kind of like a grassroots, like I said, it's like German with the dick in your mouth. Okay. That's exactly it.
So they, like, actually are speaking like German words, or is it kind of like, okay.
If you're like German, mixed you could, in with.
Yeah. It's just a, I would say it's German, Dutch, and English in one language without a high school education.
Wow.
It's really interesting. It's almost like there's moments when you barely notice the difference. It's like, oh wait, they didn't say actual English words in what they just said, and yeah. all of a sudden it registers. Like, if you don't pay attention, you could just like not really notice, unless yeah. like you're being spoken directly to, or
oh yeah, I mean, like the way they say come here is come here, like that sounds just like English.
Or
yeah.
when they, if something like, just say there's a carton of milk in the fridge and it's like half empty, is there's like a phrase, it's all, or it's, they say, like, they were saying like it's all, it's or all. It's gone, or it's all, it's like, they weren't saying it's gone.
It was just
some weird.
But you understood.
I yeah, I was like, they're using like the milk is all. I'm
slang,
like,
yeah.
What? Like,
what's okay. happening? So you said your grandma was Amish. Is she still Amish, or she died when you were 7?
Yeah.
Okay, and was she Amish when she passed? Or
no?
Okay,
she yanked over before I was born.
Got
because
it.
She married my grandpa Dave.
Got it.
And so they were together for a while. He was like a really horrible person.
Oh no!
Like, he was like a very bad alcoholic. He died when he was like 45.
So you never met him.
I never met him. I just knew her. But really, the real connection to like the Amish community that I had was that, like, my mom, like, she's a good lady. She couldn't afford a babysitter, so like she would just drop me off with my Amish family. And I would just, like, be...
And they were cool, like...
Because, yeah, okay. I mean, you just live like they do for the day, like anything else.
That's
like,
so cool.
You know, you go there in the morning, and then you wake up, you do your chores until 5 o'clock, and then you play until 10 o'clock.
That's neat. And was that in the summertime?
In the summertime.
Okay. Because I know they do a lot of, like, they have, the the classrooms that they make. And, like, is everybody the same age when they're in the classrooms? Do you know how any of that works?
You know, I never really...
Because I used to drive by Amish school all the time, and, oh, my God, this sounds... It probably sounds really, like... I don't know, stupid, but like, and this is terrible, but like Amish children are just, they look like little tiny, like regular Amish people. They have like the bonnets and the little hats.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd always see them in like clusters walking to school in the morning.
They're
and my
adorable.
Mom would always be like, omelets, like every time. Ooh, they're so little.
They are precious.
So cute.
Yeah, but it was like, yeah, it was just like a little building that they had set up for like school, and I wasn't sure like how they,
I have no idea, I honestly don't even know. I know it's considered homeschooling, but
right.
I don't really know. I mean, I'm a teacher, so like I right. also kind of like I'm wondering about that. I'm like, yeah. I wonder what certification they have to have by the state. I don't know. I mean, they're not really considered to be graduated in real life.
Mm.
I don't know. It's all about religious freedom with them.
Yeah.
They kind of just really have their own world.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. It is. It's crazy. I don't know how they manage to do that. I mean, it depends on where they live, too. Like, the Amish people where I live, they all have cell phones. And
oh,
like,
really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
They're on, like, Insta and Facebook.
Oh, wow.
Y'all
sorry.
Didn't know.
Sorry,
oh,
P.
Yeah.
I just
okay, so the wow. thing is, I moved out of my parents' house like 15 years ago. So, like, when I moved out of my parents' house 15 years ago, none of that shit really existed. And like, I don't know. I'll have to ask my mom now if that's like how the Amish roll out that way. Because at the time, it was literally like they came over to our house to use the phone, or like if they had to go to the store, someone had like there were actually vans. Like people had vans, and they would just load up like Amish families and go to the store.
Just load them up.
Yeah, because just like
put them on in there.
You'd always be like, oh, there's the Amish van, because it literally was. They literally just would bring like huge groups of Amish people to the grocery store.
Oh, because a yoder loader.
The buggies into town. Yeah. Yoder loader.
Yeah, that's right. One of the famous sayings in Littlefield. We all think it's very funny.
I think it's fantastic.
It always gets a hit at Thanksgiving.
So you have great aunts and uncles that are still Amish because they're your grandmother's siblings?
Mm-hmm, and aunts and uncles.
Oh, so okay. So how'd that... So okay, did your grandmother... I'm sorry. Please enlighten me on how that works.
Well, I guess... I don't know. Okay, so the way that, like, the Amish community works, I guess, it's very family-based. Mm-hmm. So, like, when you think of your cousins, your aunts, and your uncles, it's more than just your brother's siblings.
Got
like, because the families are so big that, like, you just, like, call everyone... Like, you don't... You would never call an adult by their name.
Okay.
So no matter who they are, their aunt or uncle, whatever their name is. Okay. So, like... For that, it was like, I guess it was like kind of like a kinship thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if you guys are familiar with that concept, like kinship outside of blood. Like a lot of cultures, especially Amish culture, it's considered to be family within the old, like the whole community.
Okay.
So like when I say aunts and uncles, they weren't just like my brother, my mom's brothers and sisters.
Right.
Gotcha. Okay.
Did your mom have a lot of siblings? Or
she had two.
Okay.
Yeah, my grandma Fanny was like totally not into being Amish. Like,
sure.
Was like,
I was gonna say only two. That was shocking.
Yeah, well, Aunt Mary and Uncle Malin have like 15 kids, I think, and they all have 13 kids.
Okay.
So I would say I have about like over 120 Amish cousins.
Wow.
Like just, but I don't remember all of them either though, because there's so many of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like a whole eighth grade class. It's insane.
Mm-hmm.
I miss them. I wish. I go back. They're so funny, too. They're some of the funniest people you will ever meet.
So you're not still in touch with them at all?
Well, you can't really be in touch.
Well, is your mom still live back?
Yes, she still lives there. Okay. And she'll, like, go to see them once in a while.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's hard to, like, go and see. I mean, you just have to kind of drop in.
Sure.
But a lot of people are very prejudiced against Yankees. Like,
oh, okay.
Like, my Aunt Sarah, like, she's Amish. She has, like, 12 kids. And, like, whenever I used to come over when I was a kid, she would be, like, really cold to me. Like,
oh, no.
Because she did not like Yankee people.
Okay.
Like, it was just one of those things where, like, we were this force in the community that was, like, trying to stop her way of life.
I see.
You know? It was, like, that weird, it's like the Hasidic Jews in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, a lot of, like, oh, well, they're so rude to us. They don't even look at us. It's mm-hmm. like, well, they really think that this is the way you should live.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, I forget, what is, like, sort of some of the fundamentals? Like, I know, like, there's a certain level of, like, advancement or technology after a certain era that they don't really subscribe to. Like,
it depends on the church.
Okay.
It's okay, so if you like compare it to like if you go back to the roots of like Martin Luther and like Catholic versus Protestant, right?
Okay.
So Catholic is all about like globalism and like making like the church about like the whole world, whereas like Protestantism is based on like, oh, we want to be in communities. We want to have churches that are based off of our needs.
Okay.
And Amish people go hard on that. If that makes sense.
Okay. The Protestant version?
The Protestant version.
Okay.
And so their idea is that they should only make rules for their community based on their bishop.
Okay.
So every single street, like I was saying before, is different. Like on more near where I live, they have bathrooms inside, they have phones, they have cell phones, they can even have TVs sometimes.
No way.
But out in PA, they have outhouses and they haven't seen a phone their entire life.
That is where I grew up. That's how they were. Now, again, it was 15 years ago, so maybe times have changed.
It has changed, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's so hard to explain. They're so, I don't know.
But that's fascinating, though, because I really did think, like, across the board, I think when you think of, like, Western religion, like, there are rules. Like, with Catholicism, like, you don't use birth control.
Uh-huh.
Gays are out. Women are... subservient, like just all the shit that's like historically known as Catholic across the board. There's not this sort of varying attitude, you know what I
mm-hmm.
mean? So it's so fascinating to me because it almost feels ironic. It feels like such a conservative religion. So for it to have it be so sort of like contingent upon who's enforcing the rules, you know what I mean?
Well, it's conservative but logical.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to like talk crap about all conservatives, but a lot of times being conservative is about conserving a way of living that doesn't make sense anymore.
Absolutely.
And so they're trying to like bounce back and forth between those two things.
Sense of like to keep it with the times, but also make hold on to tradition and that sort of thing. And I do think that's the perpetual struggle with most religion. I mean, most religion that has existed like over, you know, 500 years or what, you know what I mean? Like I feel like, you know, the various divisions of like Protestant, like Episcopalian and Methodist and all that stuff are pretty like whatever, but like Catholicism is very much, I feel like that's with the new Pope, like they're constantly struggling to figure out like what we should be embracing in 2018 versus clinging
The new Pope has really, I think, shook things up,
right,
for which the Catholic Church.
I think
Church.
Ultimately was a marketing ploy by the Catholic Church. I don't think it's an accident that they made him the Pope, you know what I mean?
Yeah, conspiracist Jess over here.
You were talking about the bishop, is there like an archbishop like there is with the Protestant or Anglican church, or is there like just, it just depends on the community?
No, the whole point is the fact that there is no overbearing force. Like they're so anti-Pope that like that is the point of their faith. Like the fact to be against the worldly look. They think very small. They think community based. They think only us. Like it's very tribal.
So when you talk about the Amish religion, it almost sounds really subjective depending on like...
Well, it's that, and I would also argue, I think you mentioned something about like, I think people view Amish people as very, they are conservative, but they are also, according to politics now, progressive in some regards. They hate guns.
They really do. I thought they were hunters.
They sometimes.
Okay.
But guns to them, like they view animals just like Native Americans used to, like back in the day. I'm sure they do still now.
I mean, they have farms, but I mean, they probably are very respectful in the way they handle like
They respect life until the down point. Like I was talking to my friend Marlon, who's Amish, when he was like, you know,
it's either an Amish or a black name.
Literally Amish.
Or Jewish. Those are the only like,
Marlon. That's a spectrum right there.
What is it with the fucking Amish people and black people have the same names? Amish dudes, black dudes.
Really?
Marlon, Marvin, Mervin, literally all of them. I have been struggling to figure it out.
That's
those
amazing.
Are those biblical? I don't think so.
I mean, like, I know. Well, okay, wait. So you have two cats that have very biblical names. You need to chime in on this one. I'm going to go get another beer.
Those names specifically do not sound biblical to me. Could be wrong.
We should look it up. I got to know.
Look it up.
Look this shit up.
But I have two cats at home, and their names are Jerusha and Eliakim.
Yeah, that's super biblical.
Those are very, like, straight up biblical names.
Yeah, anything I'm. Yeah, at the
end. Yeah, yeah. Even like my name and my brother's, so it's like Hannah and then Sam and Joe. But my nickname's Gigi, so that doesn't sound biblical. But yeah, we all have like very biblical names. Hannah, yeah. Okay. Hannah, Samuel, and Joseph. Yeah, we're very.
Yeah. Hannah and Jessica were friends in the Bible.
Oh my God!
Look at this.
They were like one. Well, I know this because my cousin's name is Hannah, and my parents used to tell us this. They were like, they were the first two people to see Jesus after he came back to life.
No shit.
Yeah,
Look at us.
Look at you guys.
We're biblically destined to be friends. Yep. Were you born Jessica or are you Jesse?
I'm born Jessica. My family calls me Jesse.
Okay.
And that's just kind of stuck ever since.
One of our best friends is named Jesse, but she was born Jesse. So I'm always interested to know. Like, yeah, do you want to be born Jesse?
Jessica is the most boring.
Do you know
name
what you were
ever.
Named for?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Have you ever heard of the band The Allman Brothers?
That's what I was named for.
No!
Oh, are you kidding me?
Shut up! Yes! Jam bands forever!
That's like that was named for that exact song.
I was waiting for that.
I was like, please say The Allman Brothers. Please say The
Allman Brothers. We're so close right now. I just need to hold your hand.
I think the most precious part of that whole situation was, do you know the band The Allman Brothers?
I mean, like, sometimes I don't, but the second she said it, I was just like, I'm like, that is what I was named for. That is the exact song I was named for.
Is your dad, like, really into that band?
Yeah, so my dad was in a band.
So was my dad. what was the name of your dad's band?
I don't remember.
Same.
You gotta know.
Find out. But he was a singer.
So was my...
We both grew up in Amish country. Oh, my God.
I can't stand you, how other Jess.
Doppelganger Jess, our evil twin Jess.
Wow. That is so good.
It's kind of mind-blowing right now.
It is. It's fun.
That's fantastic. Yeah. No, it's funny because, like, every guy I've ever dated eventually asks, like, what I was named for, and then they'll always change their ringtone to that song for whenever I call.
It's funny because I wouldn't even think to ask, like, with the name Jessica, I wouldn't even think to ask, or, like, even my own name.
Yeah,
like,
actually, do you know what you were named after? Do you have any idea? Was it the Bible?
Straight up from the Bible, and my middle name, Grace, which is kind of, like, a part of how my nickname became Gigi, is literally
the means grace, and then your middle name
my
grace.
Name literally means graceful grace, so it turned into Gigi. Like this whole thing. But my middle name is literally after the Baptist church that I grew up going to. My parents were both baptized there together, and that I went there for like my entire childhood.
Wow!
So you grew up Baptist.
Yes.
Was it like the like stereotype of Baptist or like, because when I think Baptist, I think extreme. Like, or was it like that or like, was it Southern Baptist?
It was not Southern Baptist. I grew up in Cleveland. I've lived here my whole life. I grew up in Lakewood.
Oh, cool.
So it was Baptist in this, like stereotypical Baptist in the sense that it was ultra conservative, very strict, like you were in a dress every Sunday.
Wow.
Dressed to the nines. We sang out of hymnals. My dad was always in the church choir. We had like baptisms like on stage. Like it was very
like, but was there speaking in tongues or was that just Pentecostal?
No, I think that's more of a Pentecostal.
My aunt was Pentecostal, but the thing was she married into my mom's family, which was Catholic, so we got to see her do like the buns in the hair and the long skirts, but we never actually got to see the tongue thing. But I did know that was part of that. So
yeah, I and I never growing up in that type of church, I never felt like anything like negative from it. I really didn't.
It was just like the positive sides of it.
Yeah. It was like a very welcoming place. Like everyone was super nice. And,
oh, cool.
And now like I didn't really like, at the time, especially once I was starting to become a teenager, I'm like, this place is so dated. And like we switched churches to this like evangelical free church that had like electric guitars on the stage and like a drum set and like all that. And I was like,
church.
And everyone was just like dancing. Yeah. And I was like, what is happening right now? I was like, where are the hymnals? Where's the choir?
What? Yeah.
I love the irony of when churches would try and jazz it up and then it just ended up like, no, just do you, church. Like, just be
do
old
just
and strict.
I know. But it's weird because like as an adult, I like hymns better.
Me too.
Yes,
I
me
hate
too,
conservative
me too.
Christian
me
music. Too. I'm like, I actually like can see the beauty in hymns.
Yes.
Like I like singing them. I like hearing them.
Mm-hmm. I liked the incense because I grew up in the Catholic church and I liked the smell of incense. Mm-hmm. And I liked that we had wine at communion. And when they started doing grape juice, I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, and not because I liked getting buzzed, but because it tasted better. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
traditions were like way more.
I think there's an obvious distaste for that stuff. Because like, you know, there's the history of homophobia in conservative churches and hate towards even different races. Like churches have been very racial, but I would also argue that like part of church is feeling bad a little bit, like, but not in a bad way. But like when I go to like when I have been to church, I like going to Catholic masses because like there's this weird sense of like shame that I like. I don't know
it's like a reverent like. I don't know. It's this sense of like Catholic. I'm imperfect. Let me simmer in my imperfection while. Like,
Catholics have a reputation for being super into S&M because because we're all about like being into punishment.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's wrong, but I mean, I'm not like crazy, like whips and chains and shit, but I mean like, I like a little rough. And that's the thing. It's because I think there is that like inherent element of like liking to be like, I don't know. Like,
yeah. There's like, there's
admonished.
It's a comfortable thing.
Yes.
Like to know that you're not in charge.
Right.
There's something about going into a Catholic church.
Something else is, yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm not the boss. I am a little shit. Like compared to this God or this priest or whatever. Like, I'm like, cool.
That's a great transition. So like the Amish thing stopped with your maternal grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so it sounds like it picked back up with Catholicism then? Or is you just have friends that are Catholic that you would just go to church with them?
Ex-boyfriend.
Got it. Mm-hmm. So was your mom pretty much like secular? Like she really wasn't about religion, or is it kind of like tricky?
That was, okay. So my mom is like religious by default.
Okay.
But in not no in like a, like she just thinks it's like, she lives in a small town.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you don't really have access to thinking outside of that mentality. So she's just Christian by default. Okay. She never goes to church. She doesn't care about politics. She's never, ever, like, given me any, like, grief, you know? But I don't know. I wouldn't say that she was religious, though. I tried to get her to go to church when I was a kid, but she just wasn't that kind of person. Okay. She was really into partying. Like, she was an alcoholic. Okay. So, like, it's, I don't know. Do you guys know a lot of people that are, like, white trash, not to be mean?
Well, we did have Chris Paul on here the other week talking about his default setting being white trash, but I mean,
I was gonna do that until I saw he did that. I wanted to do that.
A lot
so
of people
bad.
Are fighting over who gets to be
no,
white trash.
No, I'm white trash.
No, I'm white trash.
No, me.
No, well,
but
so
yes,
I think yeah, and especially growing up in a rural area, you do encounter that quite a bit. So yes, I do.
Yeah, and so people like that. They aren't Christian in the way that you imagine, like, suburban white moms right. be Christian. They, like, it's just a part of their core. Like, right. you believe in Jesus, God, Christ, you know, like, yep. and you work hard and you have a little drink after, you know, yep. it's just like, it's
that. That's the thing, where I grew up, even then, like, so my parents were like, yeah, you can fucking drink, it's not a big deal. But there was a level of, like, evangelicism or whatever you want to call it amongst my other family, like, my, even just as, like, as close as, like, first cousins and grandparents that were like, oh no, Christians, we don't drink. Like, that's
wow, I couldn't imagine
the
that.
The devil's juice. And what was amazing to me is that I started, my ex-husband was an Episcopalian, which they're historically known for just being like raging alcoholics.
Really?
And he started dating me when I was 21, and that was when like all my cousins were getting married and they were like inviting us to the wedding and stuff. And we went to the wedding and he was like, oh my fucking God. He went to two weddings with me like within 2 weeks of each other for cousins.
Oh no.
And he was like, is this a dry wedding? And I'm like, what's a dry wedding? I'm like, what's a wet wedding? Like, every wedding I've ever been wedding? To was no alcohol. I didn't understand that weddings
oh, that
were
sucks.
Supposed to have
oh
alcohol
my God.
Until I was like 21.
That's the best part.
Because that's how.
That's why you go.
Yeah.
Well,
it's
I mean,
the open bar.
She's heard the story. Like, we actually almost got a DUI on our wedding night as a result of like the like, fuck everybody. Oh, my family did not know how to deal. Like, my dad drank an entire bottle of wine because he'd never been to a wedding where the alcohol was free and he threw up in the parking lot.
Oh my God.
That wedding was out of hand. Somebody was having sex. One of my best friends was having sex. There was a preschool attached to the reception hall. One of my best friends was having sex with her boyfriend in the preschool attached to the reception hall. Like, other people got pulled over for almost DUIs that night. So, like, that's the thing. When you start getting so restrictive about what you can and can't do, then it becomes, as you've mentioned, this whole, like, well, we're just going to do rails. Now, the other thing is I want to know. So, like, you said they do a lot of drugs and they drink a lot when they're on that Rumspringa period. And it sounds like that Rumspringa period, it can potentially be up to, what, like 10, 15 years?
It could be as long or as short as you
really?
Want.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, depending. Usually it's like 5 years.
Okay.
And they just, like, form this weird, like, young adult community.
Okay.
And then they just party. And they have their parties usually in big barns or huge fields.
Okay.
They have these crazy...
That's where we had them.
Literally, yeah. But they do it, like 21 Jump Street level party.
Okay.
Times 10.
Holy shit,
there's,
man.
Like, they... Cops have busted, like, 300-person Amish parties in fields. Just with, like, cocaine... heroin. That's actually becoming a big problem right now, is a lot of Amish kids who are on Rumspringa are doing heroin.
Yep.
I mean, that's the perfect recipe for heroin.
I have heard
lack
this.
Of education and letting loose after being trapped for 18 years.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, so yeah, that's funny because my mom's a travel agent and she used to get calls, and she still gets them from time to time down in Mansfield, asking her if it's possible to get to Colombia but not fly. Like, if they could somehow, like, drive to Colombia. And she's like, why are people calling? And I'm like, Mom, these are, like, Amish people in Rumspringa. And they don't have the money to fly. And they've also probably never flown. And they probably don't know, like, how the hell.
They don't know what
and
water
my mom's
is.
Like, yeah. And my mom's like, well, I mean, because I think they're looking at a map. And they see that the land's all technically connected. And they're, like, trying to figure out, like, is there a way you can recommend to, like, drive down to Colombia? And my mom's like,
can you imagine?
Why Colombia?
Cocaine. Yeah, because of the cocaine thing.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, imagine knowing so little about, like, the cultural context of drugs that you think you can go
just
to
go
the
to
origin country
to get cocaine,
to get your drugs.
Yep. Yep.
And that's the only place to go.
And my mom was so confused by it. And I was like, I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's what that was. Because, like, and granted, they live in the sticks. So maybe just a lot of people think you can just randomly drive to Columbia. But
probably, yeah. They probably think Columbia is like Columbus.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like the district of
Columbia.
I would not doubt that.
Or Columbia, South Carolina. That's where all the cocaine's from. So, no, but like, I think that that's fascinating because, so the other thing I was wondering about that. So they do a lot of drugs. They drink a lot of alcohol. I assume they have a lot of sex during that period.
You know, I have no idea.
Really? Because my thing is, my concern is with how many, like, it would be almost like Vietnam, like soldiers knocking up women. They're like,
how many Rumspringa babies happen?
Yeah, like that's really where my brain goes. Like how many illegitimate kids are running around, like.
Well, think about all the couples you see on Facebook that get married after they get pregnant.
Yep.
Whenever they've been together for 4 months, you know why they're getting married. Like, you know why. Mm-hmm. And it's like that. But for them, marriage is not about love. It's about what it used to be, especially for like most people, even Yankees. Like marriage is about functionality.
Yep.
Like you find your partner and you produce and you repopulate the earth.
Right.
Like it's all very like, have you ever seen The Handmaid's Tale?
I haven't. I've heard good things.
I haven't. Obviously, it's super popular, but I was told never to watch it.
Oh, you were told never to watch it?
Yeah.
Oh, because you'd be haunted.
That I would be like upset. Yeah.
Oh, it's extremely triggering. Yeah. Like, I honestly regret watching it for certain parts because it made me like cry. But like, but I still loved watching it. Like, I think
that that's a good show.
It looks amazing. Like, if I could watch it, I would.
It's so good. Yeah. Oh, it's so good. Aww. Yeah, you guys should watch it. But
yeah, I need a show. I need a binge watch.
You should. You see, there's only 10 episodes.
Okay.
And they're really good. I mean, sometimes it kind of gets like
hour or half hour?
Hour a piece. Okay. Okay. But yeah, I don't mean to get off track with Handmaid's Tale.
Dude, we get
this
off
is
track.
The most on topic we've stayed.
This is insane. Well, because I'm so podcast. Fascinated by the topic. It's not to say I haven't ever been fascinated by the topic, but it's like, man, that anxiety. So what's going on in the comedy scene? That's like literally what happens.
Literally, like, sometimes I get nervous.
My boyfriend was on here. We talked to him for 20 minutes about his topic, and he was like, and he keeps trying to talk. He's like, and I have these panic attacks. I'm like, yeah. Let's talk about your cat. Like, let's just talk about that the whole time.
I'm sorry I'm screaming so much on your podcast.
No. Oh my God. I've already said ears are bleeding back there. Ears. Like, he's in a band and I'm sure like he's getting like tinnitus from my like pitch. Like,
he just constantly hears.
We're excited.
I know. I'm trying to do like the little voice from that Aaliyah song. I don't know if you've ever heard, oh my God, I'm probably old. Do you guys remember Aaliyah?
Yeah.
Yes. Tell me you're that
Long
somebody.
Long live, rest in peace.
But I can't like picture this
And there's
song.
Like this little baby that goes, and like in between like the, tell me you're that somebody. I'll have to find it and play it.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite, one of my favorite tweets ever was like, want to feel old? The baby from the Tell Me You're That Somebody is a Supreme Court justice now, which is not true. But like, I just thought that was like fucking hysterical. I was like,
just people causing mayhem on Facebook.
Like, oh God, no, I'm so old.
Want to feel old?
are your parents still married?
Oh, no.
No, that, so...
Does it look like it?
Does it sound like it? You seem like you got your shit together. I mean, you're a comic, so...
Does it sound like my parents?
I'm in the minority of, like, I have a healthy relationship with my parents, and they're still married of comics, which is probably to explain I'm not immediately successful, but, like...
They're married?
Yeah, my parents are still married.
That's
still
so cool.
Oh, I know, it's nuts, right?
I'm always jealous of people whose parents are still together. Like,
I find it fascinating.
I couldn't even do that, so, like, yeah.
That's, like the way you view Amish people, I have questions the same way about married people.
Still
I'm
married,
like,
yeah.
How did you have kids and then still like each other?
Right.
Like,
oh,
what?
And that's the thing. There were like, I've heard so many like phases, not just from her, but others where it's like, no, we hated each other for a good like 2-3 year stint. And then we decided like, man, fuck it. We've already come this far. And then they're like madly in love again.
Sounds like Will and Jada Pinkett Smith.
Yes.
They basically just decided we're going to have an open marriage and we're going to just know that our relationship is going to be constantly evolving. Like, throughout the years that we know each other, but we still care for each other, so we should just go with the flow, and like our relationship
that's
is going to become
fuck.
Different
I don't think most
things.
People can
I was
do
like,
that shit.
Yeah, hell no. If anyone tried pulling that with me,
yeah, I don't think I mean, like,
I'd be like, no,
dude,
you're mine.
I'm monogamous as fuck.
Like, the idea of open a relationship, it like literally makes like the core of my being just shrivel up and go, because I'm such a jealous person, and I'm
me too.
I can't handle. I'm super sensitive.
Are you a really jealous person? You seem so chill.
Right?
I would never have guessed that.
I seem chill.
I would never have guessed that.
Until I pop off because, no, I'm just kidding.
No. Kill a bitch.
No, yeah, like, I would not, like, even the idea of that in, like, a hypothetical sense right now is, like, upsetting to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was even watching the TLC show My Five Wives or whatever the hell that show is called.
Wives. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My Five Wives.
That would be such a better title for that show.
By the way, My Five because Wives. Of that show, I literally watched that show last night. This is how rapid my dreams work. I have vivid movie-like dreams every night, which is also why I cannot watch Handmaid's Tale. I literally had a dream last night that there were six women trying to get me into an orgy with them.
I mean, and that's not so bad.
I woke up and was like, what the hell?
I mean,
and then all of a sudden I was like, oh, yeah. Like, I remember.
Oh, did they look like sister wives or were they hot?
No, they did not.
Were they hot?
Yeah.
Oh, well, fuck, man. They didn't look like sister wives. I don't know what's that about. Like,
but I was so confused. Like, that's just how my life is.
That's a random amount of people. Yeah. Six. Usually it's three or ten.
I mean, it was like, it was round number.
Three or ten? It's three or ten.
I'm very experienced.
It literally was like six, like at least six
hot women. Wanted to have an orgy?
And like in my dream, I was like, what? Like,
were you not into it?
Like, I was like, this seems exhausting. Like, what? Like, even in my dream, I was like, this doesn't make any sense.
I think I had three and maybe four maximum, but I don't think I've ever had more than that.
I don't mean to get too personal,
no,
but
please do. This is the time.
That dream actually happened to me.
What?
No, six people.
What?
It was like, it was the weirdest thing I've ever experienced.
God damn it. All people in conservative religions end up having orgies. Because that was my...
They do.
One of my good guy friends growing up lost his virginity in a fucking three-way. And I was like, wait, how do you lose your virginity in a three-way?
That's a lot. That's a lot of pressure.
He grew up super, he had never drank, he had never swore, he was like 20, losing his virginity, and then it ended up being a three-way. And I was like, what the fuck, man? I mean, he's a good-looking dude.
So, like, if you don't have to answer this, but, like, was it all, like, mix of gender?
No, it was all girls. That's why your dream like freaked me out because I was like,
"What?"
That's so. It was
smashing the mic. I'm sorry, Pete. I'm mad about this because I can't. That would never happen to me in a million years.
It was not. Don't do it.
It wasn't good.
Don't start a Facebook group. Don't like. Don't pursue it. Don't make an event.
Anybody? Okay, this is officially the best episode. If this is not the number one most listened to episode by the time this is all over, then something is
wrong. I'm pretty sure that just pushed us over the charts.
All of you and all of America. So, I mean, you can get into as many details as you, because I have follow-up questions, but I don't want to pry. Was it like high school, college?
High school. That would be hilarious if it was high school.
Oh,
and
okay.
Very abusive.
Well,
like, holy
I mean,
shit. Like,
there's
six people in high school.
People get into like experimental situations when they're 16 and 17.
You're right. It was college. Okay. And it was like a group.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to school at Bowling Green. And all of.
Bowling Green. Writing it down. Got
yes.
it.
Yes. Right, cool. Bowling Green State University.
I could pass
University.
For a sophomore probably. Yeah, let's go.
You could. Dude, that's another thing we have. We both look very young.
Yeah, that's true.
Both of us do.
You're what? Like what? 26?
24.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I guess older.
No, usually that doesn't happen.
Yeah, well, what's just that, like, the other thing is, too, like, we get used to dealing with comedians pretty regularly, so it's just, like, they're all immature assholes, and I'm like, well, you're very well-spoken, and you have your shit together, and that's so rare for people
I'm
under the age
still
confused. So.
Yeah,
as a college student. Like, I have a backpack that I commute with downtown to work in the winter, and literally my bus driver said, have a good day at school, like, as I was heading out, and I was like,
yeah.
What do I look like? Question mark.
I'm so confused.
So, I'm sorry. You were at Bowling Green, and I was guessing your age, and then I guessed wrong, and I insulted everyone. Go ahead.
Not like 26 is like such
an insult.
I think it is such an insult.
Well, that's it. Like, I would have, like, I just, like I said, most 24-year-olds don't have.
No.
Together,
they're so bad.
You're like a teacher. And like,
my prime was kind of like 25, honestly.
You what?
When I was 25, like, it was.
How
I was like popping.
27.
I'm 28. I'll be 29 in May.
I can't keep track of you kids.
Past 27.
You damn kids.
Nice.
Yeah, you made it through the.
After 25, it was like whoosh, like a, this.
Oh,
like,
you're telling me
this downward slope. But anyways,
all right, go on.
Back to
you.
This.
Look young because you are young. So that's another story. Anywho, Bowling Green,
orgies, and Amish people.
Did that happen?
Cool.
Is that a thing?
No. Yeah. Okay. So it was like, it was my friend Jenica's birthday party, and
that's a cool name.
I'm queer, and like all my friends in college were queer.
Me too.
So like, you guys get it. So
yeah.
it was like this weird party, and we don't drink. We're all pot smokers. So we all just got shithoused. And it was like these weird friends that came from different towns. Like there was this girl named, I think, Elaine from Columbus. There was Mahak from Columbus. And there was a couple other. Mahak. Yeah, she's Indian.
Okay. I was going to say, I would guess probably.
Or we call her Metu Petu. That's our pet name. Okay. We love her. Wow. But it was like this crazy gathering of people. My ex-girlfriend, everybody else's ex-girlfriend. There were six people.
And everyone and their ex-girlfriends.
It was literally the L word, like explicit. Like
I feel like when I pull things, like my porn tube history is just that. Like that's just all it is like lesbian orgy. Like that's it. That like Adam will be going through like, oh, what do you want to watch? And he's like, no, not fucking lesbian orgy again. Like every time it's always lesbian orgy. Just that's all. Mm-hmm. Or lesbian three-way.
It's
or,
your default like, setting.
Yeah. That's my default setting is lesbian porn.
Dude, I literally thought about doing lesbian because like I'm like, I date guys. I have a boyfriend. Yeah. But
Adam's your boyfriend, right?
Adam is my boyfriend, but he's the
first. There's a Jesse and an Adam and another Jesse and an Adam.
I know.
Adam.
When Holy you said shit. That, I was like,
We were named after the same song and our boyfriends are named the same thing. What the this is really, this is getting like really weird.
I'm starting to not like this. I'm starting to get uncomfortable.
We're all going to have a lesbian orgy after this is over. You guys can pay extra if you want to listen to that episode.
Sorry. No, what I was going to say is that I feel like I'm like a lesbian that dates men. Because I don't like men. Like,
oh, really?
I have like, there was another
I don't enjoy men's company.
Well, I don't, okay, so that part of my upbringing is that like, I didn't have any men in my family.
Okay.
And men had always been the people that treated you like shit. Like, okay. My dad is a very bad alcoholic and he like left us.
So that's what happened with your grandpa and then that was your dad.
There was just like, men in my family don't stick around.
And have you not, you're not in touch with your dad anymore?
No, I am. Okay. On and off. It depends. Okay. But like, I don't know, like where I'm from, like it's very female centered and like you don't trust men because they're pieces of shit. Okay. Like where I'm from. Like it's just like a known thing.
Yeah.
And so like that kind of comes into like my misandry. Like I, like when I'm talking to guys, like I just came from a podcast with this guy named George and Devin.
I don't know. You did Second Shot. Yeah, they're on the network. Yeah.
They're so nice. But I noticed that whenever I meet new men, I have this weird like guard up. Like okay. I don't trust them nearly as much as I trust women. I don't know
Jeez,
why.
Would you say that's similar to kind of where you're at? I'm not sure.
Yeah, like, I mean, I feel like with men, there's not a lot of men that I like.
Okay.
Like, it's like a trust, it's like a comfort and trust thing because I have known so many guys to just like only want one thing from me that like I just have to like have my guard up at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, unless I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm even like one of those people that like I could not have like a good guy friend. Like, I don't
Me
think
too.
It's possible.
Me, yeah,
the
irony
is that I met you through my ex-husband who was a guy friend of yours.
Right.
Yeah. And then you and I are closer than you and he are now.
But that was one of those things where like I knew him from work. Didn't like hang out all the time.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, like, so I'm friends with guys, but as far as like being a like having a close guy friend, I just don't understand how that'd be possible. Because of like experience that I've had.
Like, I feel like my brain's broken because like I'm bisexual, but like that's the thing. Like I don't have trust issues either direction. It's just kind of like I just think women are beautiful and like
I think women are just like to me like give me like power. Like they're just like empowering to be around and like I love like how different all women are and. It's just like this thing. Like I never have to have my guard up with like anyone I've ever encountered. Like obviously, there's like some women that are like, you know, they might be a bitch, but whatever.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know.
One thing that I like, I don't know if you guys will relate to this. You probably will though. One thing that I struggle with a lot with men, especially in comedy, is that it's really hard for me to break that barrier of I'm someone that they would want to fuck. Like I want someone to look at me as someone non-sexual from the get-go.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I feel like sex should come after a connection otherwise. And I feel like sometimes it doesn't happen like that. Like, I feel the conversation slipping into flirting so easily. And I'm just like, I don't want that.
I
just want to be friends.
How long have you been doing comedy?
Only a year and a half.
Okay. And that's about how long I've been doing it. Mm-hmm. So you should hopefully start to feel, because I've been feeling like a lot less of that. Like,
really good.
Yeah, and it could have been just because I shaved my head, so I like they don't think I'm cute anymore. I don't really know.
Maybe I should go for that.
Yeah, maybe you should.
Yeah.
But like I said, I feel like ultimately people are starting to realize like I have a boyfriend. If I'm going to sleep with anyone, it's going to be probably a girl. Mm-hmm. So you might as well just wrap it up and just learn to respect me and be my friend as a comic. And most dudes have been really great about
that's
that.
That's good. Yeah, I'm glad that's finally coming around. I'm really happy that you had that experience. Yeah.
So I think it'll happen for you too. It's just, it takes a minute just for them to assess like, oh, I'm not getting anywhere with this. Now I can start looking at her as like a stick figure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love being desexualized. It turns me on.
Oh, the irony. So much irony here.
This is the secret of women right there.
So getting back to like, did you ever ride in a buggy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Oh, I've never ridden in one. That's so cool. I'm so excited.
Oh, definitely.
So you guys, where were you, like, where do they go in buggies? Because I always see them going, like, to house, or?
To friends' houses or the grocery store.
Okay.
They didn't really go anywhere else. I mean, like, they frequent a lot of, like, the different establishments in town. Like, I used to work at McDonald's, and they would be in there all the time. Actually, there was this, I love this story. There was this lady that was trying to, like, put one over on us at McDonald's. She would buy 100 McDoubles and then sell them at big field Amish parties for $2 a pop. And we had to ban her.
Oh my God.
From McDonald's. And then I always used to say this.
McYoders.
Literally, they would swarm the lobby. There were so many of them. I mean, it's like, you know how they wear like that green and blue? They always wear green and blue. Yeah, you know that episode of SpongeBob where the nematodes swarm?
SpongeBob, I'm so old.
Yeah,
I've never seen SpongeBob. Wait, talk to me. What?
You know the episode of SpongeBob where they all the nematodes swarm the Krusty Krab, and there's like millions of them in there, and they're all in there. They're like,
yeah.
That's what Amish people are at McDonald's. Like, there's just thousands, and they're like, oh, we're going to give you and they're just, like, speaking in crazy shit. Oh, man. It's
weird. They don't have dietary restrictions, do they?
No. Okay, I know of, no. Yeah. They eat potatoes and meat.
Except alcohol.
Well,
even then, it depends on the community. It
depends on the street.
It depends on the street. On these streets.
County Road 36 is by
This is a dry street.
This is a dry street. I like how you guys like think that every Amish person is from Wisconsin.
I can't do the accent. That's the thing, like, as much as we had them as neighbors, I feel really bad in retrospect. Like, we didn't interact a ton with them, and I feel really badly about that.
And that makes sense. If you didn't have Amish family, like, people that grew up around Amish people, like, if you're not in their family, you usually aren't going to talk to them. Okay. And they're just family-based people, like, till they die. Yeah. Like, they don't talk to people that aren't their family. It's kind of strange, honestly. Yeah.
I mean, it's like, sad to me. Yeah. When I think about that, I can't imagine.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a preventive measure so that it doesn't sort of, like, expand their minds into, like, we could.
Oh, sure. You bet your ass it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very, like, I mean, it exists on the basis of isolation. So, like, if you're not isolated, you're not going to be dedicated to the faith. Just like any other religion that is like a bit culty.
Even like Scientology, that's like, and not to compare Scientology to being Amish, but like in Scientology, they're not allowed they're not allowed to watch really like TV, and they have to spend like certain amount of hours like in classes and in the church. And like if your family member doesn't want to be a Scientologist anymore, they're exiled. So like, I don't know. It just reminded me of something like that where you said
there are some similarities. It seems like no matter what it is, like, I don't know what it is like for other parts of the world, but in like Western civilization, like cults and extreme religions that exist outside the margins of society have the same trends over and over again. Like, you have to have mind control. You have to have people thinking that this is the only way. Mm-hmm. And you have to have people thinking that this is what makes them happy.
Yeah.
Which technically it does. Like, because happiness is really relative.
Yeah.
Like, you're as happy as you think you can be. Like, and so they're very happy. Like,
that's their limit of happiness, so that they're don't know anything different.
Exactly. Like, think about how you relate to your family. Like, I'm sure you have a lot of beliefs that your family doesn't believe, right?
Yes.
I'm sure. We all do. But to them, that's like what connects them to their family.
Right.
So, I'm thinking about moving to Chicago in July, and it's because I want to be away from
them. Everyone stop leaving. I think we were yelling. I can't remember. I don't think it was you.
We were super drunk. You want to eventually.
We were super drunk at Barrio the other night. I was yelling at someone because they were talking about leaving. I'm like, everyone stop leaving.
Everyone's going to Chicago. You should go.
Well, so what's probably going to happen, what Gigi is alluding to, is that we're going to LA in a couple weeks just to check it out. And not Gigi and I, but Adam and I. And we might
not going back to LA anytime soon. That's for another episode.
Might just decide that that's where we're going to go, because that seems more like just the weather and like our speed and all that shit. Yeah. The bottom line is my law firm has offices out there, so it would be super easy to like be like,
get out, dude, leave Ohio.
Yeah. That's the encouragement. I know that's like there's that struggle to your point of like my family is here. All of my friends pretty much are here. Yep. Like, that's going to suck.
But you can always make new ones. Yes. Like, I've never stayed in the same place for more than 2 years. I've never lived in a house more than a year or two.
Really?
So, like, I'm just really good at that skill, I guess. Like, meeting new friends, establishing a new home. But once you, like, do it a lot, you just get used to it. Yeah. Like if you move around, that's why I'm, like, super eased about moving to Chicago. I'm like, I don't care.
How
like,
far? Fort Wayne's not far from there, right? Because that's where Adam is, right?
Yeah. He's, like, about in the middle. Like, Fort Wayne is, like, a little bit south of Chicago. Okay. And then, like we're a straight 5.5 hour drive on the west side of Cleveland. He's about 4 hours. We're 5.5 hours. Okay. Even though I live 3 hours from him.
Okay.
If that makes sense. Yeah, yeah. At all. Sure. I don't know. Yeah. So like if I were to come and pick him up, I'd be driving like 10 hours.
How often do you guys see each other?
Well, he's actually at my house right now.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't really have like a very like consistent job right now. Okay. Like he's a sample guy at Walmart.
Awesome.
But because he's actually pursuing comedy as a career.
Yeah,
because
we were trying to get stage time, which by the way, I'm gonna talk to you when we're off the podcast about the new things that are going on with the Jess. Because I would love to get you guys involved. Has he done sets anywhere yet or
everywhere. Yeah. He's been to the Grog Shop.
Okay.
Make
Him Laugh Mondays.
Make Him Laugh Mondays. Yeah. He's been to Barrio, just every showcase in Cleveland so far. But
I really wanted to get him on Sunday, but it was such a shit show on
it
Sunday.
It was. He would have handled it really well, though.
I know
he's
you would
have. Such a good comic.
It's just that, like, I was shaking mad, and I was like, I don't want to put anybody else.
You're just like, shut it down.
I think of you guys like my kids when I go up. I'm like, stop fucking heckling my children. Like, I just get really mad, and like people start shit with you guys.
Well, yeah, you invited people, and so you feel responsible for
right,
them. It makes sense.
It.
Yeah,
that's mm-hmm. it. And that's the way it is with the podcast. Like, we had a comic not show up a couple weeks ago, and both like Pete and Gigi are just sitting here like, the fuck, man? We gotta wait like 2 hours for this fucking asshole to not show up. And I was like, I'm so sorry. And it wasn't even my fault, but I just feel like responsible for bringing these people into their lives.
Neither of us, I mean, I can't really speak for Pete, but we didn't feel any anger towards Jess about what was happening.
Gigi and Brutus were BFF, and Chelsea,
we were totally necking on the couch.
You go with Brutus over there? Absolutely. Brutus has all the thumbs. He has a million thumbs.
He's so cute.
Are you? I know Jordan's allergic. Are you allergic?
I am very allergic.
No, I'm so sorry. Okay, good.
I am deathly allergic, but yes, I'm okay.
I am currently going through anaphylactic shock right now.
I'll be fine.
A little nugget kid.
He's a big old
nugget.
He's a puffin. so he's just chilling. So Adam's just chilling with you right now at your
place.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. He's been staying at my house all day and I make him clean my house. That's because funny. I'm like, what are you doing that you can't clean? And I'm like, come on.
What have you done for me lately?
And he ordered me, he's like, if I clean, you have to give me Cheez-Its. And I said, if you clean, you get to stay here.
There's no negotiation,
Adam.
That is amazing. Did you guys meet through comedy or just through
comedy?
Yourself?
Okay. Yeah, we met at a, you know who Keith Bergman is?
I've heard the name. I've seen the name. I think we're even friends on Facebook, but I don't think we've met in person.
He's such a good guy. Okay. He kind of like is like, you know how like Bill, okay, so Keith Bergman is to Toledo as Bill Squire is to Cleveland.
Oh, no shit. Okay.
Yeah. So like he's like the Bill Squire of their
Got
scene.
It.
Like,
it.
And that's the scene that I came from.
Okay.
Which I actually miss a lot.
Yeah.
Because it was like a lot smaller.
Yeah.
Like, there was like 20 comics versus like 300.
Right.
Yeah. Like there's
right.
so many people that like just like pop up out of nowhere right. here. It's also a bigger city. But yeah, that's not it, Keith. But he has a mic there. It's really nice.
Keith does?
Yeah, it's
Toledo.
It's like an open mic, but it's like Barrio, but a little less showcasey.
Okay.
I guess. It's like in a bar and you perform on the floor, but you're surrounded by audience.
Okay.
It's really cool.
That's cool.
You should definitely go out to it. I'm gonna plug it right now. It's it's awesome.
Do.
It's called I think it's Pizza Mike and it's
Pizza
in Toledo,
Mike?
Ohio.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like I've heard of that. Did you guys meet at Pizza Mike or did Keith just introduce you guys?
Well, he ran a show before that at the Ottawa Tavern.
Oh, okay.
And we met there.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was.
It's so funny how taboo, because we were talking earlier about being queer and I was like, I've met so many cute girls in the last 6 months and they're all comics. And like the one thing like everyone keeps telling me is like, don't fuck comics. And I was like, welp. Like, all the cute girls I've met are comics.
Yeah, yeah.
So, guess that's not happening. What the fuck?
fuck whoever you want.
Yeah, like, I know. Yeah, I think my biggest concern is I already have enough bullshit to deal with comedy. You know what I mean? And then that's you don't adding have another that, element. Yeah. Like, weirdness to the whole, like, thing.
Well, I guess just, like, don't... I would never have sex with anybody that discusses things in public that you don't agree
Maybe
with.
Maybe that's why they say that.
Why? Yeah. Oh, just the public?
Because you never know what they're going to
say about you
shout
on
out on stage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't...
You might become part of their act.
That's true. I mean, I would say, like, I don't know, I'm like... And I know I'm sure this is going to be challenged at some point, but for the most part, there's nothing that I don't care. Like, there's nothing I care. Like, oh shit, people know that about me. Like, because ultimately, like, in the grand scheme, I know people who have done a million things that are like way more scandalous and worse, especially in stand-up comedy. Like, I feel like I'm a fucking like Glee Club dork.
Right.
Like, I feel so innocent in the grand scheme of like, no one can really say anything that's going to be like, and.
Well, okay. What I will say about that, I have an extreme opinion on what you just said. And it's not that I don't agree with you. It's that I think a lot of comics are like fake edgelord. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, a lot of these people come from like very like comfortable middle class homes.
Oh, yeah.
And they act like they're just against the world. Mm-hmm. They literally, all of their frustration comes from girls that didn't fuck them.
Yep.
And
yes.
It's just like, it's so annoying. Like just to think that you have something to complain about. Like, I don't know. Just to me, like, comedy is something where it should be something about everyone coming together to share this experience, yeah. Not hear you talk about your singular experience.
Yeah. I mean,
like, we want to know about how do you connect to us?
Yeah.
Not what about you?
Because I do think it is important to have the best quote I've heard so far was from Colin Quinn, and he said the universal is in the specific, which is, and it's a very paradoxical statement because it means like you have to talk about your individual experiences. But very often your individual experiences become very relatable
to the audience
to the point where it endears you. You know what I mean? So I think it is important to talk about, like, I got divorced and all this crazy shit with dating. And, you know, it's very self-deprecating, but at the same time, that's endearing, even though it's your exclusive sort of experience.
No, I get that. Yeah. I guess I like it better when they bring up mundane things in a way that says, I get that I'm like everybody else.
Yeah.
Instead of endearing. Like, yeah. Instead of saying, like, oh, I'm the only one that has this problem.
Right.
And I'm just so dark. And, you know, it's just like, oh. Like,
I would say the most, the Facebook post I've seen catch the most fire in, like, the last month or two is you posted, she was just like, your rape joke's not funny. And that's all it said.
Oh, my God.
And ultimately, you would think, like, most people, like, yeah, you're right. And somehow it devolved into like, what about my rape joke? My rape joke is surely hilarious. And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Dude,
how do we get here that we're defending rape jokes?
It's like hypothetical rape jokes. Like,
it wasn't even a real joke.
It's just like,
he didn't even have a rape joke. He was like, but what if I were to tell one? And I'm like, what are you even doing right now? Like, what is this? Like,
yeah.
That dude just wants to fucking fight everybody. So that was hilarious just because, like, he came in and did that, and then, like, it was just like, like, it just imploded into, like, that dude, God, shut the fuck down. Like,
shut it down.
It was almost like, because a lot of my friends, like, a lot of my male comic friends came in on that set, and they were, like, shutting them down. I'm just like, I have done this so many times.
you don't need
I don't care. Like, he's just, this man, most people like that are, like, in their 30s, mid-20s. Mm-hmm. They're not going to change. Like, and they're just going to keep trolling you, and it's just not worth it. Like,
well, and this is the same guy who will go to Mike's and be like, my black friends gave me a pass to say the N-word. And then it'll just be like, N-word, N-word, N-word. I'm like, you are only doing this right now because there are no black people in the room.
Yeah,
you would literally get your guts ripped out and shoved
down. What does that?
Literally, right, what a pussy.
Oh,
like, what a pussy. Yeah. Like,
well, what's funny, so I don't know if you were there when I was talking to Lawrence the other night at the show. And I was telling him that exact story. I was like, there is a dude. And I told him who it was. I was like, there is a dude who will go up and be like, well, my black friends gave me a pass so I can say the N-word. And he's like, what's his name? What mics does he go to?
Oh.
And I was like, well, here you go. You can check him out anytime. He's like, is he booked on your showcase anytime soon? I'm like, well, no. And he was like, okay, well, I'll just be sure to show up at LVT some random
room. And just heckle the heck out of him.
Oh, God. Well, and that's it. Like, he always does it when there's, like, no other black people or, like, Spider. Like, Spider's not going to say anything. So, like, but if it were, like, John Bruton or Jasmine or Ulysses, like any of those people would be like, no.
Excuse me.
That's not how that works.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to thank our guest, Jesse Rigger. This has been so much fucking fun.
Yeah, thank you so much.
This has been really a good cool. time.
Geez, where can we find you on the social media?
Where can we find you? I'm fucking this up
because I need to make notes about promoting my friend's social media. So this is going to actually air probably the first part of May. Do you have anything coming up around then, Jesse?
I'm on the Cam's Corner show.
Okay. That you run. Is that coming up around May?
Oh, that's yeah, March.
You're like, no, that's sooner.
I
that's
don't know
when. May, March, we all start with MA.
It's coming up real soon.
Do you have a social media that you want people to know about?
Yeah, my Facebook. It's okay. Just Jesse Aaron.
Jesse Aaron.
Yeah.
Okay, uh-huh. Cool. So it's just facebook.com/Jesse Aaron.
Uh-huh.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And then Geege.
You can find me on Instagram at GeegeeChick, GeegeeChick.
I'm at EpicFaul, EpicFaul. You can find me at my Sunday showcase, which I can't say where it's going to be right now because by the time this airs, it's not going to be there anymore. So Sunday night, 7 o'clock, I'll keep you guys posted on my Twitter and Instagram, which is at EpicFaul. So you know where the hell I am. OKPants, at OKPants. He did our logo and he is awesome. Pete Milk, aforementioned dude who we are giving tinnitus every single week from screeching into the microphones. Above Below Entertainment, which is our network, and Lousy Weather Media, their parent. Geege, what the hell should we do for our sound effect this week?
Yeah, I thought of it earlier and then I forgot.
Did.
Yeah.
So we do a weekly sound effect, Jesse. And sometimes it's related to the episode, but sometimes it's just random. And I don't know if there's like an Amish thing, like if they do, I mean, it doesn't have to be. I don't want to put you on the spot. We can just sit here and talk for like another 2 minutes trying to figure out what the fuck our sound effect is going to be.
Sound effect.
Damn it. I feel like I should need like a clip clop, like just horses going clop, 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 clop.
But you could do, like really lame. Is there like a sound effect for the sound of manure falling from a horse's ass?
All right, let's see.
Because that's pretty close to my experience with the falling. Amish community.
All right, I'm literally going on YouTube and typing manure falling. there's a lot of girls fought in horse manure. There is guy jumps into fresh manure pond.
I like manure pond.
Manure pond? All right.
Yeah. Manure pond. That's what I meant.
All right, guys, we're standing at a shit pond. And Dustin here is going to jump into it for $170.
Dustin.
That's it?
I think I've ever seen in my life. All right, dude, whenever you're ready. That's fucking gross. Don't be a pussy. Just fucking jump in, dude. Just dive in. All right, dive out.
No.
This shit is sick. You gonna get in or what? Just jump, dude.
Just jump, Dustin. Jesus Christ.
Just jump in, dude.
Do it.
Hurry up, I'm running out of fucking camera space.
Yeah.
No, dude, you have to jump in. No lowering your shit in. Oh, I don't know how deep that pond is either, so hopefully you can swim. If he drowns, I'm not liable.
That's legal. Legally binding. Not doing it. Come on, Dustin. What the fuck, man? Get it together.
Is he gonna jump or not?
I don't know. Why is this even on YouTube?
I hate him.
Pull up your trunks, bro. 170? That's a very specific number.
That's too low.
That's all the money they had with them. Oh, shit. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he didn't even try.
I mean,
not impressed.
Did it make a sound?
Okay, love you. Bye.